Praise God. Praise God. Now, let's pray. Father, I thank you right now for the awesome day that we are experiencing. Not that we are about to, we are experiencing it right now. Because as the brother said, Jesus is in the house. Hallelujah. So, Father, I thank you right now for your Holy Spirit that is in me, rises up big to deliver this message. Lord God, and I thank you for the anointing, because I can't do it without the anointing. For I am merely a vessel. I'm a human being. But when I'm listening to you and working with you, I am supernatural. I'm a supernatural being. Hallelujah. Because I serve a supernatural God. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Please be seated. He is good God Almighty, isn't he? Hallelujah. God is all-seeing. He's all-knowing. He is all-powerful. And he's everywhere present. You can open up to Psalms. I'm going to go to 147, Psalm 147, and this is verse 5. This is the Passion Translation. How great is our God? That's not a question mark, that's an exclamation point. How great is our God? There's absolutely nothing his power cannot accomplish, and he has infinite understanding of everything. Everything. He understands it all. In Isaiah 40, verse 28, don't you know? Haven't you been listening? Yahweh is the one and only everlasting God, the creator of all you can see and imagine. He never gets weary or worn out. His intelligence is unlimited. He's smart. He is never puzzled or anything. He is not. So he is never puzzled over what to do. There's never a question. He knows what to do. God is never surprised. He is never caught off guard. It's an impossibility. He knows everything. He knows past, he knows the present, he knows the future. We affect the present and we affect the future, though. Right here. Remember that. God knows everything. God knows us. Knows us well. Matthew 10, verses 30 and 31. Now, he says, Jesus speaking, so don't worry. So don't worry. He knows us, don't we? Seems like we worry a lot. And you know worry is a sin? Don't worry. So don't worry, for your Father cares deeply about even the smallest detail of your life. Even the hairs of your head are numbered. Yeah. Why are you looking at me like that? Now listen, the reason they're numbered, brother, is because he collected them. They all got a number, and when you get to heaven, he's going to put them all right back in where they belong to be. You know what caused them to come out and disappear in the first place? Worry. I just thought you'd like that. God knows our thoughts. In Psalm 94, verse 11, the Lord has fully examined every thought of man and found them all to be empty and futile, incapable of producing any useful result. I didn't say it. Why are you looking at me? I'm just reading the Word. Psalm 139, verses 1 through 4, because God knows us, says, "You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I raise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways." Ooh. Sila for a moment there. "You are familiar with all my ways." Verse 4. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, completely know it." Before a word is on your tongue, he knows what you are going to say. He knows what you're going to say. Oh, man, I got done. That one's gone and completed. Thank you, Lord. But now, what's going to happen next? Ah, what's going to happen next? You open the door back up. That's what happened. Nothing's going to happen next. But if you're expecting something to happen, believe me, the devil will provide you with something. He's listening. He's listening. See, that's why the Holy Spirit in you will attempt to warn you to keep your mouth shut. You get that check? Don't say it. That's him trying to put a muzzle on you. It's easier for the government to muzzle you than it is for the Holy Spirit. Put your mask on. Yeah. I'm sorry. No, I'm not. Proverbs 15:23 says, "People are happy when they give a good answer." Aren't you happy when you answer somebody with the right answer? Because you know when you say something wrong, man, it just digs at you. All day long, all night, until you go to that person and say, "I'm sorry." But see, sometimes we don't do that, do we? We just sit there and fester on it. They might have just blown it off. Guess who's paying the price for it, though? Yeah. It's easier to say, "I'm sorry," and they say, "Oh, it didn't bother me. Don't give it a second thought." Say, "Really? Praise Jesus. You got it off." And now, let me finish that, though. It says, "People are happy when they give a good answer, and there is nothing better than the right word at the right time." That's for sure. The words we speak make a big difference in our personal life, in our spouse's life, in our children's life, in our friends and our co-workers, and our nation. God knows everything. God is, like I said, not ever surprised or caught off guard. He is never puzzled over what to do. He is the one in control. We have had many things revealed to us And they are revealed to us through prophets. Now, we have prophets like Kenneth Copeland, Dr. Mark Barclay, Pastor Hank Kuhneman, Pastor Kent Christmas, Robin Bullock, and Dr. Lance Walno. And it's just to name a few. Because, see, they're just not one or two prophets. Back in the Old Testament, there were hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of prophets. When Elijah thought he was all on his own, he wasn't. There were some, and they were in hiding because God was protecting them. Because the people want to all the time, a lot of times, stone the prophets when they should be listening to the prophets. Ahab should have listened, didn't he, shouldn't he? Yeah. Well, in Amos 3:7, it says, contemporary English version, whatever the Lord God plans to do, he tells his servants, the prophets. When God's got a plan and it needs revealed, he does it through his prophets. We had prophets in the Old Testament. We have prophets today. Acts 2:17-18. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, or Apostle Peter. I'm sorry, Peter. Peter was speaking here. And this was right after, by the way, when he got filled with the Holy Spirit. And this is what he said. After being filled with the Holy Spirit. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit. That's the Holy Spirit. On all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. The last days, referring to the time between Jesus' ascension and to his second coming. That is the last days. That's a long time. And that's why you hear him say now that we are in the last of the last days. And believe me, we are. Just look at what's going on in the world. Besides that, there have been a lot of prophets that have told us that. But God told us right there in his word. Verse 18. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days. What days? The last days. Doc, I just keep, everyone, I say that, I think about the dash, when you did the teaching on the dash. You live from this point to this point. What did you do with the dash? What did you do with the in-between? I'm telling you, if you don't want to re-preach it, give me your notes. Save me a lot of work. Amen. Praise God. Now, servants here is the Greek word doulos. Strong's 1401. Okay? And meaning one who gives himself up to another's will. Those whose service is used by Christ in extending and advancing his cause among men. We are servants. So it's being poured out on us. When you have a word from God, that's a prophecy. Yeah, you are well capable. Most of us, though, we hold back. So, you know what? He'll give you a couple opportunities, and then he's going to move on to somebody else because he's got to get his word out. So when you speak it, and you know it's the Holy Spirit, speak it. Now, brother, you remember when we heard that? I got you on the second ding, but we heard that first ding. Okay. And I said, all right. And I went right there. Isaiah 54, verse 17. So, Let's do this. This was the ding. So they don't know this was. Okay, this is Holy Ghost here, and I know it. Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. And every tongue which rises against you in judgment, I'm going to say that again, which rises against you in judgment, every tongue, God shall condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. Servants of the Lord. We are servants of the Most High God. He shall condemn every tongue. Do you think about that? So when you say that scripture, there's power there. See, a lot of times we say it and don't understand the power behind it. And when he says, no weapon formed against you, no weapon. It may be formed, but it will not prosper. It will not prosper. That's his promise to you. That's his promise to me. I stand on it. I say it. When we were born again, we became willing servants of Jesus Christ. God used prophets, and he still uses prophets today. God uses prophets to teach us about Jesus Christ and to travel the world talking about him. They also receive revelation for the ecclesia, the church, and share it with us so we can be warned of upcoming judgment, to change our ways and avoid danger, lead and guide us to do what our Heavenly Father wants us to do. They give us hope and assure us he is the one in control. When the prophets speak, we should be prepared to listen and to believe. Simply for believe. You try to reason it out. Quit trying to reason so many things out. God is the God of the impossible. All things are possible with God. You're believing for a new house? All things are possible with God. You believe him for a new vehicle? All things are possible with God. Well, they say, I don't have the finances. All things are possible with God. Well, what about this? All things are possible with God. One must simply believe and speak his word. Speak his word. We're not poor. We are not poor. If you're poor, it's because you're speaking poor. Quit speaking poor and start speaking prosperity and wealth and happiness and wholeness over your life. Healings, that's what you speak over yourself. And who are the true prophets? That's what we ask. The true prophets of God. Because we know there are false prophets. Because Jesus warned us. He said, beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. Now, Jesus also warned us in saying, be careful what you hear. False prophets, okay? Does their prophecy line up with God's word? Are they speaking contrary to his word? Do they teach contrary to his word? See, your spirit will pick up very quickly on this. See, if you are worded up, pays the word up. Also, do they minimize Christ and exalt themselves? You'll be able to very quickly discern. And you'll say, turning that one off. Time to change the channel. Let me just say, a no in heaven is a no on earth. That's what the Word says. In Psalm 119, verses 89-90. Forever, O Lord, Your Word is settled in heaven, standing firm and unchangeable. His Word does not change because He does not change. Scripture says, has He said, and will He not do it? Or has He spoken, and will He not make it good and fulfill it? When He makes a promise, He will do what He promised. Verse 90, Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. That should bring you great comfort. You have established the earth, and it stands securely. Your faithfulness continues from generation to generation. You have established the United States of America, and it will stand. America will be saved. I got a lot of yeah, but I got a lot higher. Yeah, Jesus! Are you excited? Because my aunt sounds like I'm doing an extraction here on the teeth or something. Praise God. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. God's Word is forever settled in heaven. God's Word, spoken in faith, produces results. It'll produce results in your life. You're speaking it over your loved one, His Word, it will produce results. It will change them. The Word will change them. The Word goes forth in faith, produces results. It can't fail. Can't fail because it's God's Word. There's no situation that is hopeless. You say, well, they got their own free will. Yeah, they do. But God's got a will that supersedes their will if you're speaking His Word over them. He will work on them and work on them. And when you don't think it's going to happen, shame on you, because it will happen. Get your expectations up, as our brother said. Expect. Word up. One more time. Word up. Because a little dab-a-doo-ya ain't going to cut it. Folks, you can't be a part-time Christian and take on a full-time devil. It will not work. It won't. You got to be committed. 100%. The same as when people get married. It's not a 50-50 bargain. It's 100%. You give into that relationship, into your marriage, 100%. And if he's putting in 100%, you know what you're going to receive? 100%. Jehoshaphat. Remember King Jehoshaphat when he said to his people in 2 Chronicles 20:20. And this is when they were facing three large armies. Remember that? He said, believe firmly in God, your God. And your lives will be firm, established. Believe in your prophets, and you'll come out on top. And if you come out on top, that means victorious. You will come out with a victory. Because the prophet, Jehazel, here's what he said. And this is verse 15, he had told them, he said, listen carefully, all you people. The Lord says this to you. Do not be afraid or dismayed at this great multitude, for the battle is not yours. Hey, Tim, you ready for this? But God's. My God's. Where did you place her at? In the hands of God. Because but God can deliver. I don't care what man says. God can change things. Well, this is what we saw. But we must have made a mistake. No, you didn't make a mistake. That child was healed. Made whole. Perfect development at the stage where she's supposed to be. In Jesus' name. Praise God. But the people that morning, they went out to the battlefield. And they faced their enemy. They faced their enemy, praising God for the victory. They were going to see a victory. For the battle belonged to the Lord. They went out, ready, expecting. They were expecting a victory because God had promised it. Did they all go out there unafraid? Probably not. But they went out. You know why they went out? Because they were going out with someone else that wasn't afraid. And they faced their enemies. When you are up against something, remember, you are never alone. Even Jesus made that same statement. Well, when they were all going to disband and leave him, he told them, I am never alone, for my Father is always with me. John 16:32, if you want to look me up. And he is with you. You are never alone. God is with you. And he has a mighty angel army. Okay? Mighty angel army. You may not see them. They're there. See, we're supposed to see them in faith. We're supposed to believe they're there for us. Sometimes because of what's going on, we start thinking, oh, are they there? Well, they're there. No matter what may come. Praise. 2 Kings, chapter 6, verses 15 through 17. Elisha's servant. He got to see it. That when the servant of the man of God got up early the next morning and went outside, there were troops and horses and chariots everywhere. Because see, they were chasing Elisha down and whoever was with him. Oh, sir, what will we do now? The young man cried to Elisha. Oh, he was afraid. He was shaking in them sandals of his. Verse 16, don't be afraid, Elisha told him, for there are more on our side than on theirs. Then Elisha prayed, oh Lord, open his eyes and let him see. The Lord opened the young man's eyes, and when he looked up, he saw that the hills around Elisha was filled with horses and chariots of fire. Filled. There was no room. Lord, open the eyes of our hearts to see your mighty angel army that surrounds us. Hallelujah. Open the eyes, Lord God of our hearts. How's that song go, brother? Open the eyes of my heart. With God, always be assured, we are the majority. We are the majority. And the majority rules. A majority rules. We are not a minority. We are the majority. The ecclesia is the majority. Face the enemy with your weapon of a melody, a song of praise, like the people of Judah did. They were singing, "Give thanks to the Lord, for His love endures forever." What's love got to do with it? Everything. Love is powerful. Love is powerful. They were praising Him in the morning, and they were praising Him in the noontime, and they were praising Him when the sun went down. And they saw the total devastation and destruction of their enemies. And then they went down and took up all the spoils. They didn't have to do anything. All they had to do was raise a hallelujah in the presence of their enemy. Raise a hallelujah, folks. Raise a hallelujah. You got more power than the enemy. And you got a mighty, mighty angel army right there with you. We must face our enemy as Judah and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem did. Unafraid. So when you go out with somebody, go out. But go out. Even though you're afraid, go ahead and face it. Face your fears. You say, how is that possible? They believed God's word. They believed God's word. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. Oh, this is from Moses, by the way. Moses, prophet, teacher, leader. Prophet, teacher, leader. He prophesied, went in and taught them before they would accept him as their leader. Deuteronomy 31, verse 8. The Lord Himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. Believe firmly in God, your God. His name is powerful. His word is unstoppable. All things are possible with God. God's word is true, and you can depend on it because that's the whole purpose God has in giving it to us. His word. His word. We are dependent on it and on Him. God and His word are one. Our part is to apply faith to the word. The word works. It's alive, it's full of energy, and it is unstoppable. Put it into motion, put some wheels to it, and watch what it'll accomplish for you. How do you do that? With your tongue. With your tongue. And don't speak something else and blow a tire out with it. Come on. Jesus. I mean, that's what we do. We get it loaded up, get it moving, got it on them tires. Next thing you know, we got a flat. Why? Because we opened our mouth. We spoke contrary to what the Word said and what we should have been standing on and believing for. Hallelujah. The Word is where we get our strength and our help. It is the foundation on which our faith acts or rolls. Faith applied to the Word changes our situation. It changes our lives. It changes a nation. It changes our nation, the United States of America. Amos 3:3. Oh, and by the way, he's a prophet. But you know what? That wasn't his job. You know what he was? He was a sheep breeder. God called him. He used a sheep breeder. And guess what? He's in the Bible. I just want to make you sure that, see, he'll speak through anybody. He'll even speak through a donkey, Dean. You know that? See, sometimes a donkey's are smarter than the person that's riding them. That's another whole story, amen? Well, it's another testimony to what God can do. Okay, Amos 3:3. Can two people walk together without agreeing on the direction? I don't think so. But that's pretty plain and simple. Amen? If we are not in agreement with God's will, His Word, what we are praying for will not come to pass, will it? Matthew 18:18-20. Matthew 18:18-20. And Jesus speaking here, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, whatever you bind, forbid, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth shall have already been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, permit, declare lawful on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven. You got to word up to know the word. Verse 19. I say to all of you sitting there in the assembly at El Equipa, my church, that if two believers, what are believers? They're mountain movers, they're water walkers, and they're more than overcomers. So if two believers on earth agree, that is, are of one mind, in one accord, in harmony about anything that they ask within the will of God, what is the will of God? His Word. It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. You hear that? It will be done for them by my Father in heaven. Verse 20. For where two or three are gathered in my name, meeting together as my followers, I am there among them. See, Jesus was looking ahead to a new day when he would be present with his followers, not in a physical body, but in his Holy Spirit. Let me see. 1, 2, 3. Oh, already up 3, 4, 5, 6. How many are in the house? What's it say right there? Where two or three are gathered together. I am among them. Jesus is in the house. Do you realize that? He is in the house. Michael, when you give me one of them, that one's sitting in there. Yeah, brother, that's what it says. And he said it, and he can't lie. So he made his entrance this morning, early this morning. Brother, you said a lot of these things earlier this morning. You know that. Amen. Praise God. Holy Ghost. It's what we've asked for. Holy Spirit is moving. He's educating us. The Holy Spirit is truth, and He will reveal things to us. The more we have opened up our, not just our hearing, but our hearts to accepting and receiving what He has to say to us. In the ecclesia, the church, the sincere agreement of two people is more powerful than the superficial agreement of thousands because the Holy Spirit is with them. When two or more believers filled with the Holy Spirit will pray according to God's word, not their own, their request will be granted. Let that sink in for a second, huh? That is the powerful prayer of agreement. It is the effective way to share burdens in prayer. And the rules are clear. We must be on earth. Okay, check. We must be in agreement. Okay, check. We must ask. But we must be specific. We must be specific. Because even if you go to Philippians 4:6, make indefinite request. Definite request is being specific in your request. I got the sign back. I don't like that. Do not put any limitations on Matthew 18:19. Do not. The prayer of agreement will work because it is God's word. Our prayer for our nation has been to destroy strongholds in our government, to expose and to bind the powers, principalities, and demonic spirits embedded in our government on a federal, state, and local levels. And we've also asked that all truth be revealed. The prophets have been giving us God's word about our nation and on its direction and its future. God has told them to have his ecclesia pray and to get involved. Yes, get involved in all levels of government, federal, state, local, school boards. School boards. Get involved. Run for an office. Or go there and let your voice be heard. Or pick up your congressman or your state, your senators, state and federal, and call them and tell them what you think of what's going on. Don't send email. You know, they really respond to the phone call. They do something with it. There's more power in the phone call than there is the other forms. I was surprised at that because they're all recorded constantly, those ones. They can't ignore them. Somebody has to actually pick it up and say, yeah, and you said, this is what I want you to tell them. You send an email, you don't know if they really get an answer to that. I did, and I finally got one from Casey back, and it took him almost a month before he responded. I didn't like his response anyhow, so I deleted it. I was not impressed. I am not impressed with Casey. So you can take that one and say, hey, that's what Pastor Jack said. That's what Pastor Jack said. He don't like that man. I don't like his answer. That man is for abortion. I will not align myself with him. We are the ecclesia. Ecclesia. What does ecclesia mean? It is from two Greek words, ek and kaleo. Ek means out, and kaleo means call out. It means to be called out and assembled for purpose. The word ecclesia first occurs in the 5th century, 500 years before Christ. It was a political term, not a religious term. It is a word describing those with the final say in Greek government. The definition of ecclesia in classical Greek is an assembly of citizens summoned by the town crier to legislative assembly at the gate. The gate, of course, is where people of authority sat. It would be like where our municipal building would be, where the mayor and the council, they do business. The capital of Pennsylvania would be the gate of Pennsylvania. That's where our governor and the Senate and the House, that's where they govern from. Washington, D.C. would be called the gate of the United States in Bible days. Citizens 18 years of age and up could answer a call to gather or assemble to pass legislation, always by upraised hand. It was no accident that Jesus chose this word. He knew exactly what he was doing. He said he would build his ecclesia, or his assembly. Aliquippa Christian Assembly. We are an assembly. We are an ecclesia. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it. It was stated with purpose. It was God had planned. No other word is ever used. It is ecclesia in all four Gospels. In Acts, in Romans, in the Epistles, in Timothy, Titus, Hebrews, Revelations. It comes out to be 115 times, 115 times in the New Testament. But some say 112. Well, see, 112 is right because those are where it was translated wrong. There's only three times that it was actually translated properly. Well, you guys, okay. And that is in Acts 19, verse 32, verse 39, verse 41, where it's actually translated assembly. So, the numbers are right, brother, if you get what I'm saying. I won't go against Dutch. That's why I had to research that one out. We must understand the meaning of ecclesia if we are going to understand what Jesus intended for his church to be. It means to be called out and assembled for a purpose. An assembly of citizens summoned by the town crier to legislative assembly at the gate. Jesus calls us out to get involved in our government. That is what God has been saying through the prophets. It's time to get involved. Time to engage the enemy and take back our government and our land. And God bless the USA. Amen? And we're going to pick up more on the ecclesia next week. Amen? Because I think he ran out because he was going. Okay. God bless all of you. Thank you for... Amen. And one thing that I've been taught, I'm not going to